number of common columns are back in the mountain Sumer, which is New Malaya at the time. You should ask me first. Why do you ask me all those 180 questions? These are the fundamental questions you should be asking me first. Right? So he gave him the answer to the fundamental question. He ignored his 180 questions. So, 2,000 years ago, this is the Buddha's teaching. Start with microscopic, macroscopic view. Start with what constitutes what. Force open our mind. Before you even try to attack any big questions, we must have the concept of macroscopic and microscopic view. If our mind is not open, we will not have those macroscopic, macroscopic view. So the definition of opening up our mind is to be able to visualize macroscopically and microscopically. Once we open our mind and be visualizing those two aspects right away, we can holistically look at things as oneness, just like she alluded to. Right? And we can see the connectivity between everything, like Jonathan. And this is exactly the correct approach to the big questions. Right? So, these are the questions you should be asking. Why do you not ask me this? How many atoms are there in the flame? How many atoms are there in the wind? How many atoms are there in the five senses? And so on and so forth. So that's how the Buddha answered. In the sutra, or in the teaching, he taught in Sri Lanka. Alright, thank you. So now we can close this and continue with our PowerPoint. We call this kind of teaching or the way to enlightenment, Dharma. And Dharma progresses over time, what's called turning of the Dharma wheel. But actually, turning of the Dharma wheel is not a wheel turning in a fixed position. It's like the wheel on a vehicle. It advances. The wheel turns to bring the vehicle in motion. Okay? So we have to progress in space and time. We don't turn the Dharma wheel in a stationary position. Okay? Turning of the Dharma wheel means advancement. We have to advance with time. We have to catch up with the time, with modern times, with this new scientific knowledge, logic, and what we know now. So about 2,100 years now, the Buddha is about 2,500 years ago. This sutra appeared about 400 years after the Buddha passed away, 300-400 years. Well, it's a Mahayana sutra. But we will go into those, evolution of Buddhism much, much later on, maybe 2 or 3 years from now. Suffice to say that based on some of the teaching of the Buddha in Sri Lanka, 300 years after he passed away, the sutra appeared. What is the contribution of the chapter 1 of the sutra? It provides an initial drive, and we call the AW curriculum, year 1, initial drive. It uses numbers, quantities, weights, and length measurement to do what? So number 1, force us to open our mind. And number 2, to visualize microscopic and macroscopic realities. Alright? But if you read the sutra, you will find that it is not very systematic, as we've just gone through some of them. Right? The questions were asked pretty much randomly, and the answer was given, without much systematic train of thought in it. They talk about weight, they talk about what. So if you don't get what he's trying to say, you'll be lost quickly. So it's not very systematic, and it did not explain clearly how does visualization help to answer the big question. Right? The Buddha just said, Bodhisattva, with wisdom, you're asking the wrong question. you should be asking these questions. Well, he didn't explain why these questions help to answer the other big questions. Okay? So those are the deficits. It kickstarts everything. It makes a two-point contribution, but it needs to be improved upon. The Dharma will need to evolve. So, next slide, please. The evolution is the next big sutra, the Avatamsaka Sutra. So this appeared about 500 to 600 years after the Buddha passed away, or 100 to 200 years after the Lanka Sutra. So after 100 or 200 years, it was recognized more needs to be done. It needs to systematize. So this huge volume of sutra appeared. Okay? This is a huge sutra. If we read it every day, it takes about 20 days to finish reading it from beginning to end. And that is, if you're reading like 8 hours a day and someone is cooking for you, 8 to 10 hours a day, that's all you do, just read the sutra from page 1 to the end, it will take you 20 days to read it. Next slide, please. The Avatamsaka Sutra, immense, or great, or vast dimension in wide and profound, right? The world dimensions, opening up our heart, capacity, enlightenment, Buddha, right? Flower, dignity. So, what it means is we have to have a wide, open, infinite, dimensional capacity in order to be enlightened to dignified life. Flower is a metaphor for the most prosperous transpiration of the life force, because the plant cannot flower until it has reached its blossom, you know. You say, oh, it's blossoming, so that means the life force is coming out. So how does it take? It takes opening up our mind, first of all, to become enlightened, then we can dignify life. Otherwise, life itself is indignant. The meaning of life. Excellent question. Okay, remember this now? We start with 10 million, which is a koji, with 8 digits, and then we go through reading, reciting this from operation number 1 to operation number 8 on the left-hand side column. We keep on going and going with life is. And then we go from 113 operations to 140 operations by adding those units, unequal times unequal equals unequal square, unequal square times unequal square equals unequal cube, and so on. Dr. Chen has brought us through all this. The whole purpose of this, this is a systematic way of forcing our mind to go into the big dimensions. Next one, please. Also, notice that this unit that is arbitrary name or label or imposed upon these numbers are abstract terms, unspeakable, immeasurable. And yet, by using this contradiction, this is measurable. This is finite numbers. But the terms we put there are descriptive and abstract. See? Already in the nomenclature of this system is built in a contradiction for us to start building up a wide thinking mode that quality can be quantified. Abstract can become material. So that we're beginning to transfer the duality thinking mode. Next slide, please. What this sutra does, it forces us, using number system, go from our thinking thoughts of trillion, quadrillion, gazillion, gazillion, all the way challenging the whole concept of infinity. Until we prove to ourselves the concept of infinity is invalid. It's invalid because we are able to keep on putting on more and more dimensional label units. All we have to do is stay on course. Staying on course means we have to not be bored. As we are counting those numbers, how many of us feel bored, feel irrelevant? We lose attention span. That is a measure of our life force. As soon as we lose the desire to continue accomplishing the task of counting, that's when we lose the Zen. We lose the tranquility. Right? That is what Zen does for us. We practice Zen so that it will build up our life force to accomplish a task in a tranquil state. So we can break through this using that sutra. Next, please. So about 2,000 years ago, the Anapanasati Sutra opened our mind. How does it do it?